This is Scott Mitchell with a program called Let the Bible Speak, and I'm here with Andrew Ulmer, and he came over from Louisville. And of course, Matt's on the console doing all the tech stuff. I asked Andrew to come partly because of your background in this and what we're going to talk about. And I want you, and you've been on before, I want you to introduce yourself to the people that are watching. That way we know, they'll know who you are before we get going too fast, because I'll forget to do it if I don't.
All right. Well, thank you again for the invitation.
Oh, sure.
I'm always glad to be able to come out and look at God's Word, say God's Word with a brother. And my name is Andrew Ulmer, as he said, a member with the Brethren at Tesla Road Church of Christ in Louisville, Kentucky. And I've been a believer 2.5 years, going on close to three. It'll be three in December when I was baptized. Mm-hmm. For the right reason, we shared, I think, before in a previous episode where it took four times.
Yeah.
Had to get a proper dunking. Proper cleaning.
Proper cleaning.
Yeah, it was a little bit dirty, I guess. And so finally got that washed off. So hopefully that the subject matter today is very relatable and to talk about deception and what we need to follow and who do we need to follow and what's important, God's word or man's word, who trumps. No pun intended.
No,
I'm not trying to draw into
no
that
political, no political agenda.
I
want to get first of all, it's my anniversary today, so happy anniversary.
All right,
bride.
Yes, congratulations.
Thanks for that. Also, a little plug, September 14th Glenn is going to host a youth lecture, and we'll have more information, so you just want to kind of get that on your calendars. That'll be out there as well. Also, I'll be out next week. I'm going to be at Indiana Bible Camp with Gary Fisher and Scott Smeltzer and Jeff Smeltzer and a bunch of those guys up Shack and Mac. So I'll be up there next week with my son. Normally attend Galena. I preached down the road here at El Bethel for about a year and a half, and I'm not doing that now, but still studying in the area and just want to get the word out. And so we're doing a yearly reading, a chronological reading of the Bible at Galena with a bunch of the kids and a bunch of adults doing that. And then my wife and I are talking about when we read through this, what interesting account it is, and that's why we wanted this to be talked about. If you would, if you got your Bibles, go to 1 Kings 13. I don't think I'll take the time to read this whole chapter, but I'll give you some background on what's going on. A young prophet, it says a man, I keep calling him a young man, that doesn't really matter, but a man of God was sent from Judah up to King Jeroboam, who was trying to make sacrifices at the altar to try to get him to change. And God had given this prophet instructions to not eat or drink anything there, and to not go back home the same way, that sort of thing. And for some reason, he gave his message and went on his way. The king invited him to stay. He said, "No, I can't. God told me not to." He went on his way, and this other prophet supposedly heard about him being there. His sons told him. He said, "Well, which way did he go? Get my donkey ready." He went to him and said, "Hey, God told me to tell you to come back." We aren't told what his motive was. For some reason, he lied to this guy. The guy, this other prophet who God said, don't go back to that place and don't go back the same way, don't eat or drink there, turned around and went back. And it cost him, ended up being killed by a lion because of that. And so as we go through some of these things, we'll be referring to this chapter. Lots of lessons there for us to consider as far as who do we listen to? Why do we listen to them? How do we verify what they say is correct? Do we verify what they say, or do we just believe because they use God's name and what they teach? And lots of things like that are going on in this chapter. It's just really intriguing how this all kind of unfolds. And so anyway, that's where the idea for this discussion came from. And I had 6 points in my notes, and now you've got some points, and so I think they're going to overlap just fine as far as that's concerned. I guess we'll start with the first idea I had was that the prophet that God did send didn't inquire of God about this, what this guy said to him. He just believed him. And it's interesting because he says to him, In verse 11 is when he starts talking to his son. But in verse 15 says, then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you or go in with you. Neither will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place, for it was said to me, by the word of the Lord, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, for nor return by the way you came. And he said to him, this is the old prophet. I also am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him, so he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Again, why this old prophet lied like this, I don't know if he just wanted to be part of this process. We have no way of knowing what his motive was. But he flat out lied to him, and the young guy believed him. And he said, hey, this is from the Lord. The angel spoke to me and said, God said for you to come back. But the younger prophet never inquired of God to find out. Is it possible when we hear things taught to inquire of God to see if what we're being taught is correct? I guess is the question we need to ask. Are we capable of checking the source to see if it's correct?
Absolutely.
How do we do that? Since you're so adamant, how do we do that?
Well, we search the scriptures. And
what?
Yeah, I know that's crazy.
We refer to the Bible?
Yeah, I don't even know why.
Okay.
That's just a crazy notion. But it came to me, I know that's crazy. A thought came to you. Yeah.
That's cool.
Since the beginning, when God speaks, and if we have someone tell us other, mm-hmm. we should stop right there. What did God say?
Yep.
And the perfect example is what happened with Eve,
mm-hmm.
and when the serpent, Satan, approached her.
Yep.
And it started all the way from the beginning.
And lied.
Yeah.
Deceived. And it's in John 8:44, we both talked about this verse. It says, you are of your father the devil, your will is to do your father's desire. He is a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. He is a liar and the father of lies. What we have here is a deception. Well, I don't understand mm-hmm. why, but it was obviously a lie that could this whole situation, it seems to me, could have been avoided by doing what you just inquire of God. Now, this guy had the ability to go to God and say, hey, did you say this?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He knew what God said. And see, this is where we get ourselves in trouble. He knew exactly what God said. He told three people exactly what God said, or two people. He told the king, mm-hmm. and he told this prophet exactly what God said for him to do and what he told him not to do. And yet he believed something else.
Can I...
Please.
An opposite verse, sort of, when you said the devil is a liar. And when we got multiple passages that says God does not lie, mm-hmm. and I just picked one of them from Numbers 23, it says, God is not a man, this is verse 19, that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?
Mm-hmm.
So we can depend upon this,
yes.
that he, what he says, he will do.
Yes. And it's, I guess my motive for doing this particular show is that we all know, and folks, that we've talked about this before. If you're a member of a denomination, whether you're Baptist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, mm-hmm. whatever, I know it doesn't matter. The thing that separates each denomination, and even those of us who call ourselves non-denominational Christians, and people don't like this, but it boils down to Bible authority.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. And what we have here, this guy had the authority of God to go to speak to this king. He told him, you go and you do your business and you go home a different way. You don't eat or drink there. You do what you're supposed to do. He told him exactly what he needed to do and how to do it, when to do it, and all that sort of thing. That's Bible authority for us. And so what separates us from... what separates the religious world when it comes to religious faith and practice is how strictly do we read the Bible.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line of this whole thing, is when God says it, is it still binding? Is it, or have we outgrown the Bible? We've talked about that on here before. Is it obsolete, or have we just grown so much as people that it doesn't matter so much anymore? Or has society changed the society rules and the culture's changed, so a lot of things in the Bible don't apply anymore. These kind of things are what people talk about when they want to change what the Bible does say. They want to do things differently than what the Bible does say. The prophet that went to this king, Jeroboam, knew exactly what he was supposed to do and how he was supposed to do it, and he chose to do something else because of a lie.
Yeah.
We can do the same. Folks, as much as we hate to admit it, people have not changed. We still are tempted by the same things. We still are bothered by the same things in life. Now, again, we're fancier now. We dress nicer. We're cleaner. We've got less bacteria, and we live longer, and maybe, but we're still just people. And so to say that we've outgrown God in some capacity, and so these things don't matter anymore, is a mistake. But what we see this prophet doing is just basically ignoring what God said and believing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And we can all do that.
Yeah.
It's not, when somebody comes to us in the name of God and says something, well, how do we verify?
Well,
again, it's a simple answer.
Yeah. And I think the best example, or one of the best examples, in Acts 17.
Yep.
Got that one. Bereans, when Paul came and spoke.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to look at verses 10 and 11, unless you thought that.
That's adequate. We can read more, but that gets it done. So,
the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so.
That's as simple as it gets for us as Christians. I mean, really, that's as we can't make it any more simple than you hear it taught, you go to God's word to verify that what they're saying is true. If it's not true, then you don't listen. You don't hold on to what they say. You shut them up if you have to. That's exactly what this young guy did not do.
And I took into the thought process of doing some studying on this passage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible, thinking that this young fella may have seen this guy. Well, he's an older prophet. Maybe,
well, sure.
Yeah, maybe he has more connection to God, and I should show him respect.
Yeah.
And I think that people nowadays can see, well, look at these individuals in leadership roles. And
they've been studying so long, and they know so much. They're very wise.
And there's so many people that are flocking toward them, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, just because a bunch of people flock to them, doesn't mean that what they're saying is true.
No, it doesn't. And that it's easy to fall into that when you've got people that, you know, we're supposed to respect, our elders are supposed to respect those people that have gone on before us. And again, we aren't told why all these things happen. That's, you know, I don't know why that older prophet lied to him. I don't know why the young prophet listened to him. But it's just typical human behavior. I don't, you know, that we, we want to give people the benefit of a good thought. We want to, you know, think the best. I don't know. We don't know any of that. Certainly, it was just a mistake. One was purposeful, and this guy was gullible and fell for what was said. We just can't. When it comes to our faith, we cannot let ourselves fall into that. And which leads into the next point, of that Satan really didn't give up on this situation. You remember what? Because Jeroboam asked him when he was there. Let me get back there again. Because what Satan just kept sending stuff to him until finally he gave in. Let me find it here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here it is in verse 7 of 13. It says, "And the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself." Because this is after he's told him he can't make the sacrifices on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
The king says, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. And the man of God said to the king, if you give me half your house, I will not go in with you, and I will not eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the way you have come. So he went another way and did not return by the way that he came to Bethel. That was one. He stood. We already read the second one. He knew what God had said. At verse 19, so went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Satan did not give up on this situation.
Sounds like when Satan departed Jesus for an opportune time.
Yes. Now, we did a show. I did. Louis Taylor was on with me a couple months ago, and we did a show about talking about whether Satan knows our weaknesses or not.
Mm.
After studying that, because someone said they'd mentioned it in a class, and they said, "Is that true?" I said, "Well, I've always thought that." She said, "I want book, chapter, and verse." Satan does not know our individual weaknesses. Now, I can't find anything in the Bible that says he does. What he does do and what he does know is what tempts man. And then my son said, well, he just casts in seed. He just throws the seed out and see who bites. He doesn't know. He can't get it. He's not a mind reader. He's not all-knowing like God. And so we have to reveal ourselves to him. And so what he did here, he threw it out once and he threw it out a second time to see, and he took the bait the second time. And so if you want to refer back to, I'll be glad to talk to anybody about that, but it was eye-opening for me to look at that and realize, you know what, Satan really isn't all that powerful. He's as powerful as we let him be, but he has no power over him. He can't get in my head and tempt me. He doesn't know how to do that. He doesn't have that power. That I can't see anything in the Bible that says he does. Now, we've got that in here. He does, 2 Peter 5, or is it 1 Peter 5, 8? I've got it in here, where it talks about him being a roaring, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
But he looks for people, but he waits for those that reveal. It's kind of like a lion hunting a herd of whatever they hunt. They look for the weak ones or the stragglers or the, you know, that's what he's looking for. And this kid fell in, or this young, whoever this prophet was, I keep calling him young. He's younger than the old prophet. He fell for that because Satan didn't give up on it. Yeah, it's 1 Peter 5, I've got it right there. Let me go back there and read it. But it does not say, the Bible does not say anywhere, so we need to quit giving Satan power he doesn't have. The Bible does not say that Satan knows everyone's weaknesses. He knows what tempts man in general, and that's what he uses. Be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's what he does. And so we have to be careful of that, and that's what he did. He just didn't give up on the situation to make this turn for him. And I don't understand the mindset of either one of these people to know what happened here. Why did that prophet lie? Why did the old guy lie? We don't know where we aren't told. We just told that he was.
Yeah.
And so we don't know his motive, what his intent was, but he knows the result. And when we'll read what happens with him. In fact, we don't really. There's not a lot said about that. God doesn't say much about this old prophet outside of what we have recorded for us. And we'll get to that in a second. It says, and the tempter, Matthew 4:3 says, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. It's a temptation. He didn't know the result. He just threw it out to see what would happen. If you are, he's tempting that pride. He's trying to get the pride thing. Well, if you are the Son of God, that's what he does to us. If he can get our pride turned, and maybe that's what happened with this young guy, and that he was just, you know what, this old guy wants me to go back with him, and I'm a man of God, and he wants to spend time. Maybe it was a pride. We have no idea, but we know Satan doesn't give up, and he's not going to give up on us, but we don't have to give in.
That's true.
We can resist Satan. He'll flee from us. We're told that we have all those things at our disposal, but we know he's a liar. He's a father of lies, and he's not going to be any different. And what we have to do, can religious people teach things falsely, convincingly?
Oh, yes.
And can they believe it themselves?
Yes, unfortunately.
And can they convince themselves that they are wrong? And we're going to get into self-deception in a little bit. But that idea of just following somebody because they say they are of God is scary, because we can all fall into that. You know, we've got elders in the church. We've got preachers standing. You know, these guys are well-studied. They know what they're doing. And it'd be easy to fall into this trap. And we just can't. We all are responsible for our own salvation. We're not, we have to know ourselves what the truth is in order to defend ourselves, to defend the truth and to stand for God. If we don't know the truth, then we can't do that. And this guy did know the truth and just chose to ignore it, which happens a lot. Here's my most, and Matt probably has heard these words. Theron, I know, can read. I'm going to pause and you're going to say the next word. I know what the Bible says.
Therefore, I'm going to do it.
Or, what's the opposite? I know what the Bible says, but hate those words. I hear it all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This guy knew what God said, but he didn't do it. People will say to me, well, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but okay. That could still apply today, but we know, but all kinds of reasons that people come up with to do not what God said. That's what happened here. I don't understand it, but it's pretty simple to me. Anything else on any? I know you've got lots of verses.
Well, you just quick comment on the people of now today, and what I appreciate about people that are speaking, preaching, is when they say, hey, when they're humble enough to say, check what I'm telling you against God's word. And if I'm not teaching, or if I am saying something that is not according to scripture, then let me know. I've heard preachers say that, and I appreciate that. They're not putting them above God's word, that they're the final authority. Because I know that my perception is of the false teachers out there, many of them, they stand there and put themselves as the final authority.
Yeah.
But going back to what you're talking about, Satan, I just want to, how clever Satan is, and I didn't know this passage existed for a long time, even though I've read it over and over, just eyes just would skip over it. And it's a very powerful passage in 2 Corinthians 11. And I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. I'll let you get there.
Oh, no, you do. Go ahead. It
says, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So he and his army of false angels or demons, his workers, constantly, as you read, on the prowl. Mm-hmm. So
it's interesting too, and this isn't the show about Satan necessarily, but why was he disguised himself as an angel of light? Satan's always trying to be what Jesus was.
Yeah.
He's always coming up short. And that's why I think, you know, people get all upset about the number 666.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, the number for completeness is 7. And I think what that shows is that 666, he can never be what Jesus is. He's going to keep trying to be that powerful, but he's never going to be. He's always going to come up short. And so we'll get on from that. But in terms of being misled by people, using God's word, we went to Acts 17. You mentioned a verse earlier about testing the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
What was that verse? Do you have it?
Yeah, easily? 1 John 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we are told to do today if someone isn't as not teaching what is true.
And what verse? 1 John 4, what? So
Well, 1 through 6 is really that whole section.
Okay.
About it's our responsibility to look and to know what is true and what is not true.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and read that so we can talk about it a little bit.
Apostle John writing, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
And so, well, let me ask this. Can people use Jesus' name today and teach falsely?
Absolutely.
So we can't. He was talking to certain people there about certain things, but we have to understand people can come to us and sound right. They can appear as angels of light. They can appear to be doing the right things and saying the right things. But if we don't know the truth, we won't know a lie when we hear it. Even if it's not purposeful, even if they're honestly deceived, we won't know it. This old prophet was dishonestly deceptive. He knew exactly what he was doing. But we can have people come to us that is sincere in their beliefs and still be wrong. And we have to be able to, in order to try to help them, we need to know what the truth is. Because if we don't know, we can't help them, we can't even help ourselves. And so it's just important that we understand we've got to keep going back to what God said. We've got to keep coming back to the truth. It is the truth. Jude, let me see. I've got before, but there's something I want to read real quick. Because we're kind of talking about this prophet, and God doesn't appear necessarily. He doesn't say anything about this guy lying.
Anybody, Ezekiel?
Yeah. He doesn't say anything about this old guy. We know there have to be consequences. Let me get back here. But we aren't told what he said. So, but if you go back to Ezekiel 13, I'm going to read this real quick just so you know the situation. Ezekiel 13, 7 through 9 says, "Have you not seen a false vision and uttered a lying divination whenever you have said, declares, be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord God." God is not pleased with this situation, although he doesn't deal with it directly as we read in this account. But we know how God feels about what happened. Mm-hmm. And there will be consequences to pay. So I wanted to throw that out there before I forgot. It's not that God isn't going to deal with this. He just doesn't deal with it in the moment. So we got to remember that as well. That's another lesson for another day, maybe.
Well, he's going to, it talks about, and I didn't write this particular verse down, mm-hmm. but it says not many of you should be teachers.
Yep.
Because they're going to be under great condemnation, mm-hmm. especially if they don't teach what is true.
About time, isn't it, man? 1 minute. My fourth point, and I know you've probably got some of these notes in it, God is clear in what he wants, and he leaves little to the imagination as far as what it is we're supposed to be doing when it comes to religious faith and practice. And I'm going to read a few verses. We've been through these before. But in terms of dealing with this, dealing with people that come from different backgrounds, different denominations, different teachings, even inside the same, you know, Christian churches that are out there don't all teach the same thing. There are denominations that have separated, that started the same, that have separated into different races and have different doctrine. Although they started the same, but as they separated, they came to different conclusions using the same Bible. It's not possible for everybody to be right. We've said before, everybody can be right, or everybody can be wrong, but we can't all be right. We can't, because unless the Bible lies, and there really is more than one truth. I'm not willing to say there is. So, I say I'm going to go with what God said. Jude 3 Yes, go ahead, Matt.
You're listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WPRO 89.9 FM broadcast from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
And it is beautiful today. Sunny, no clouds, beautiful day. I hadn't really put this out. It's been kind of, we haven't really had a lot of response, but if you wanted to call in about something or make a comment on Facebook, Matt's got a computer up over the hill, see comments. Ignore Theron's. The first one, maybe he'll make one appropriate for the show. Not, it's not inappropriate. It's just ignore some of them. Love you, Theron. If you want to call and to discuss any of this stuff, you can call me at 812-620-4034 anytime. You can get a hold of me through the school. Again, through Facebook, we'll see those comments. And if I don't get to them, it's because I sometimes don't look. I need to be more careful about going back after the show and looking at comments, responding to people. So if you make a comment, we'll get to it. Theron reminded me of one last. He said, hey, did you see this comment? And I hadn't seen it. I think it was your mom told him somebody had been on, and Theron got on and looked, and it was a guest there. Somebody come on, made a comment on the show. That's Matt's mom, by the way. But anyway, lots of ways to contact us, lots of ways to verify it. Look, folks, I don't want to put anything out that's not right. That's not the dumbest thing. I mean, why would I be sitting here? Matt not getting paid to be here. I'm not getting paid to be here. All we want people to do is just look at the Bible for what it says, understand the truth of it, accept it for what it says, and do some homework and verify it. You know, I keep saying this to people. If you're not doing something to verify your faith and build your faith, you're making a mistake. Whether it's studying science, studying history, studying the Bible itself and how the 1500 years and all the 40 authors and 66 books and no discrepancies, dig in there and find out and make your faith real. You go to Sequoia National Forest and look at those trees. And if that doesn't move your soul, there's something bad wrong with you. You know, go do these things and verify that what God said is true. Don't take my word for it. Certainly don't take my word for it. Don't take Andrew's word for it. Don't take your preacher's word for it. Get in there and find out what it says. Without that, we're wasting our time.
May I make a small point?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I would encourage, if you have questions,
absolutely,
of your preacher, mm-hmm, or your elders, that they be willing to accept those questions.
Absolutely.
They should be able to willingly say, if someone, anyone has a question and they're kind of afraid to ask, or if they don't think that a preacher is approachable or elders are approachable, then there's a problem like
there's
that.
There's a problem there too, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, a preacher should always, same thing with elders, leadership, mm-hmm, always be welcoming questions,
yeah,
and be willing to have them respond.
Oh, absolutely.
And then once those responses are given to you, then it's upon us to look at God's word, mm-hmm, and see, okay, yep, does that match up?
Yep. It's pretty simple. And the reason we can do that is because God's word doesn't change. It's reliable, and we can always count on that, and we can go back and verify. But here's what happened. Two people have told me when I've been teaching class, and I've mentioned science, and I've mentioned history and things like that. Two adults told me, well, that didn't do nothing for me. I don't need any of that. Both of those people have fallen away. Both of those people aren't faithful to God at all anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I'm telling you, if that stuff doesn't matter to you, if those things don't mean something to you, if they don't have value to you, there's something going on that shouldn't be going on. Either you're thinking, you're spending time with the wrong people, you're watching the wrong stuff and trying to justify it, you listen to whatever it is. That stuff is important. God put this creation here for us so we can look at it and know that He's real. He's done that for us. We need to be using those things. And if we say those things don't matter, there is something bad wrong in your heart that needs to be changed. And so think about that as we go. You know, if these verses offend you, ask yourselves why. Because I'm telling you, if you disagree with what I'm getting ready to read, your argument is not with me. It's not with me. You can argue with God all you want. He can handle it, but it's not with me. So let's read. I'm just going to read Jude 3. It's pretty simple. It says, "Beloved, although I am very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I find it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Now we can get into this silly little discussion about what the word once means or the word all means. We know what those words mean. Once means once, all means all. What we have in the Bible was given to us all one time from God. It's all we need. We don't need handbooks. We don't need creed books. We don't need confessions of faith. We don't need those things. God has made it clear what he wants. He leaves very little for us. Now, we can decide whether we want padded pews or what times to meet. Yeah, we can do those things. And, you know, do we have blinds or do we have curtains? Okay, but when do we meet? Can we decide what time to meet on the first day of the week? Yes. Can we decide what day to meet? No, it's the first day of the week. It's simple. Simple, simple. Folks, Christianity is not rocket science, never has been, never will be. God tells us.
When you read that passage.
Did I trigger you?
Yes, you triggered me. Just one of those things, it made me think about, I hear or I have heard people say, well, the Old Testament don't matter no more.
Oh, they're so wrong.
And that, well, you only have to look at the New Testament.
Now, I say that because there's if we go to the New Testament and read an Old Testament quote, and we don't know who it was written to or why it was written, we can't understand all the New Testament. That's why I say that. Yeah. But go ahead.
Well, there's a couple passages that I wanted to read. The first one is Romans 15, mm-hmm. verse 4. And it says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope.
Yeah. Which is what we're doing this morning, looking at 1 Kings chapter 13. Mm-hmm. The practice of religion is for how to get to God has changed. God hasn't changed. And those lessons are there for us to learn. He put it there for us to learn from. So go ahead.
And the other passage was, and we use this quite often at Tales of the Road, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all scripture. Didn't say some. Didn't say
all. Just, it says all again?
Yeah. Don't you love that word?
I love that word.
It says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So, can we learn from the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah.
Is it the Old Testament profitable, and the teaching and discussion that we're having today, is that useful for people?
Absolutely it is.
So I think that it's good that we look at lessons, and sometimes I think that we might not put enough emphasis on the Old Testament to our detriment, mm-hmm. because there's so much that we learn. It's more than half of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of good. There are a lot of good lessons, a lot of good character lessons, a lot of good things to look at. Hebrews 1 and verse 2. Now, here's the deal. Theron Hall and I have talked about trying to do a show about Bible authority without calling it Bible authority.
Mm.
So we need to come up with a word that means the same thing, that doesn't, that way, you know, not as scary to people.
Gotcha.
I had somebody, when somebody asked me it, at school one day about something. I said, well, it really boils down to Bible authority. Said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, you all say you speak where the Bible speaks, but you're silent where it's silent. Yeah, that's what. And I said, here's the word. I said, I didn't say where I stood on the subject. I probably have said this before on the show. I didn't say whether I agreed it's necessary or not. I said, and like baptism, for instance. That's all I said. And man, did the ruffle the feathers up, and everybody got off. I didn't even say whether I thought if you sprinkled poor, I didn't say anything about it. And I said, there's my point. And I got up and went through. That's the problem, is we're not willing to go back and look what the Bible says about something. We have our opinions. We have our think-sos. This prophet we're talking about knew exactly what God said to do. Exactly what God said to do. And he chose not to do it. We don't know why. But he chose not to do it. We can do. People can read the Bible. I had somebody say one time to me, well, maybe we need another word for baptism. I said, well, we do. It's called immersion. But then they didn't want to go through and explain transliteration, how the word was baptizo, that when you use that word, use immersion, and that'd make people mad, so they invented a new word. We don't have time for those conversations because things become so emotional. Don't need to have them. Go back and see what the Bible says. What did God say to do, and how did he say to do it? That's what this prophet missed. We don't have to understand why. We just know what happened. He was eaten. He was killed by a lion. He wasn't eaten by the lion. He was killed by the lion. It's interesting. You read the account. The old prophet goes back and gets him because he's heard that this guy's dead by the road. He goes back. There sits the lion by the dead guy with the guy's donkey.
Yeah.
The lion didn't tear the donkey. Didn't tear the body. Just killed him. The old guy was able to pick him up, take him home, and bury him basically in an unmarked tomb because he wasn't going to be buried with his family for what he did. It's an interesting story, but why did it happen? Because somebody chose not to listen to God. It's kind of scary, isn't it? In a way, how easy we can all be deceived by what's going on around us, by simply saying, "Well, I know what the Bible says," but what? And so that's why we get into these discussions about Bible authority. You can go back into, I had 2 Timothy 3 on here. John 8, 31 and 32, where Jesus said, if you'll abide in my words, you'll know the truth, and truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. Well, whose words? His words. Jude 3 said, wait a minute, we've spoken through once, given to us once, right? Hebrews 1, verse 2 says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So Jesus said, if you abide in my words, God spoken to me once, you'll know the truth. John 14, 15, John 15, 14, John 14, 23 and 21. They all say, basically, you are my friend if you do what I say.
Mm.
Well, what does that mean to us? Doesn't mean anything to us. And so those are the things. And again, I want people to take the time. If you're offended by that, that's fine. But to go to the Bible and see what the Bible actually says. And then if you're offended, ask yourselves why. If you figure out the Bible really does say that, ask yourselves why it bothers you. Why does the truth get under your skin like that?
And one of the problems, mm-hmm. and I think that Scripture clearly teaches us, and going back to 2 Timothy 4,
mm-hmm.
Verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths."
Can we use that? I had that verse in my next point. Can we use that to skip to my next point now since you read that?
Well, I hope you forgive me for stealing your thunder. I did not even know.
That was a nice segue into this, the idea about self-deception.
Segue. You're not talking about that thing that
is that what those are called?
I guess.
It was a nice transition.
Transition? Okay.
To talk about self-deception, which is exactly what that says. This is interesting because I read that in part of our reading, I run across this. That's just like people. In Proverbs 30, we're going to get back to what you just read. Proverbs 30 and verse 20. There's no thunder to steal, by the way. Says, "This is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong." Now, for us today, we say things like, this is what I was taught by people that before I was a Christian. Well, if everybody involved is in agreement, it's okay. As long as everybody agrees, it's okay. Whether that was alcohol and drugs or sex, whatever the case may be, huh? As long as everybody's in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get divorced, you want to get divorced before you have kids because that makes it really complicated. And things like, those kind of things where it's like there's some kind of weird logic in it. It goes against everything God says, so it's not real logical. But those kind of things are taught to people. We hear those things all the time. Or, I'm really not hurting anybody. We're not hurting anybody doing what we do. So it really can't be wrong because, we're happy. Doesn't God want us to be happy, Matt? What's wrong with me being happy? God wants me to be happy. All these things we hear go right back to, she wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong.
We are the best at rationalizing and justifying any type of thing that we do wrong. Mm-hmm. We have, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience, that I could tell myself that it is okay, mm-hmm. what I just did, even though if I write it down, read it over and over again, and I'm sure it'll finally click, hopefully, that that was purely mm-hmm. wrong.
Yep. So, again, going back to that younger prophet, he somehow deceived himself in thinking this was okay. I don't know how, I don't know what rationale mm-hmm. he used to say, you know what, I'm going to go back mm-hmm. with this guy because, but, it, you know, for, you just read it, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and that's exactly what has happened. When we heap up teachers that, you know, want, I got to be careful. Got to be politically correct, and also, you know, don't burn bridges. I have left people and said, if you want to find somebody to teach what you want to hear, you can do that. And they have. And that's, if that's what they want, for right now, for them, it's okay, I guess. Mm. But there's going to be a time coming where the reckoning has to be dealt with. Now, unless, and I don't want to be too harsh, I don't want to be out of line on this, but we don't have the luxury as people of saying, I know that the Bible says that, but I'm just not comfortable with that. I just don't feel right. I just don't feel right about that. We don't have the luxury of saying those words. Mm-hmm. Any comments or anything on there we need to address? Not from Theron.
Not just Theron.
All right, good. Go ahead.
Well, I just thought another, there's a couple verses that I thought about. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty yep. deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ.
Mm-hmm. And here's an example of that. A lady said to me one time, dealing with baptism, and I couldn't say again everything needed to be said. She said, well, I know a lot of Christians who haven't been baptized. I couldn't say to her, no, you don't, because that would have been offensive. And I don't want to, you know, I don't, but what we have to get people to do is, okay, let's go back and see what the Bible says about this subject. What do you do with these verses that say, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins? What do you do with those verses? Mm-hmm. And so that's up to each. Everybody's got to read that and decide, you know, how they're going to deal with it, because we're all being taught a lot of stuff. We got to figure out how to filter it out. Here's a self-deception. A lot of people are living this. They aren't living a Christian life. They don't have a Christian lifestyle, but they still think they're saved. Well, doesn't God love everybody?
Mm.
He does love everybody, but that's a self-deception. God's love for us doesn't guarantee our salvation. God's love for us gave an opportunity for salvation, but it doesn't guarantee it. We still have to do what God says we're supposed to do. And there are lots of these verses, but this is one that it's just interesting. In Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus said these words. He says, pretty simple, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears, now this is verse 47, everyone who comes to me and hears the words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood came, arose, and the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. When we get into the VBS about the sand and the rock and all that. But Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Now, Do you think that prophet that disobeyed God believed who God was?
Oh, yeah.
I believe he did. But somehow or other, he didn't do what he said. So there was a little bit that I don't know what that says about him. We don't know enough about his character. We're not told his name. We don't know anything about him. Except this little snippet of it, this little small slither of his life that we can see. And you mentioned earlier about, you know, on your tombstone, if you could have the words, a faithful man.
Of God.
A faithful man of God. I mean, that's enough. What does this guy have on his tombstone?
Nothing.
He's not even buried at home where people knew who he was. And so it boils down to whether or not we're willing simply to know what God said to do and stay the course and do what he says and not listen to the lies, not be deceived, not be drug away by every wind and doctrine, all those kind of things we hear. You know, it's simple. It's either the truth that... Christianity really boils down to, is there a God or isn't there? And then, okay, if you say there is this his word or isn't it?
Can I read some hard passages for people to hear?
Yeah, sure. Hard passages, what are they?
Well, there's two sections.
I'm going to say that you're coming from a background where you were taught some stuff that mm-hmm. you had to go through the process of realizing was not correct.
That's correct.
You were baptized 4 different times.
That's right.
So as we go through that, I'd like to throw some of that stuff back out there at some point to ask, how did the transition occur?
Mm-hmm.
But read your hard verse.
Okay, there's two sections. The first one's in Galatians, and then the second one is in Matthew.
All right.
This first one is in Galatians 6, it's verses 7 and 8. It's going back to that self-deception.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life."
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is from Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. And this is where it's difficult for people to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this notion that, well, there's going to be a lot of people that accept the word. But here's what Christ says. "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it."
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yep.
But we got to understand that many are going to reject what is being shown to us in Scripture.
Yeah. And they will. Again, is the argument, who's the argument with?
It's the Word.
It's not with me.
I know sometimes that we get emotional. I know that I run into that thing. And that's the thing. And I've had people at church tell me that all you need to do is, well, what's this say?
Mm-hmm.
And feel free to argue with this.
Yeah.
You're arguing with God. You're not ultimately arguing with me.
Now, this is verse 10 and I talked about last night, and you mentioned Galatians 1. Again, folks, it's not... We have to keep coming back to this concept, but we hate to, but it's kind of like essential. And verse 6 says, "I am astonished," in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we," now listen, "even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, and so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." Who did old prophet say came to him? "An angel of God came to me and told me to tell you to come back." It's exactly what this, we cannot allow it to happen. And what's the only way to do that? What's the only way to know? We've had some crazy people, you know, David Koresh and these people.
Oh, yeah.
Claim to be Jesus Christ publicly, urinating on the Bible, and people believe it. And what's really weird about that is people follow them. they actually follow these people. Jim Jones.
Yeah, don't drink the Kool-Aid.
And people follow these people. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they don't know a lie when they hear one. They aren't convinced of the truth. And so we've got to be careful about what we believe, and we know which we can know what to believe. We just can't believe it all. And a lot of people are trying to. I talked to, when I worked at the Pete Dye Golf Course, there's a young guy there. He said he wasn't really a Christian anymore. I think he called himself a Daoist or Taoist, that sort of thing. And I talked about what that means and try to help him with some of those things. And what people try to do I've talked to people who take apart from each religion because, you know, they can't all be wrong, right? I mean, all these religions out there. And by the way, these denominations and religions makes it really hard to convince people there's one truth.
Yeah.
So what they try to do is take little pieces from each religion and kind of make their own religion, you know, and try to create their own kind of false reality, which, you know, we can't do what's right in our own eyes. You know, there is only one way to do things, and that's what, when you read the Old Testament, a lot of times it says they did what was right in their own eyes.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous place to put yourself. But we can be certain, we can be absolute certain of what we need to be doing. We're about out of time. But the last point was we can be certain of this. You know, read Galatians 1. There is a gospel. There is the gospel of Christ that cannot be distorted, can't be changed. You know, we talked about 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17, all scriptures inspired. You know, here's the deal. A lot of people that watch this already agree with what I say.
Yeah.
And that's fine with me. But what I want to get this out to, because Theron's making CDs to give to people and send out to people, is get this to people who maybe don't agree and ask them to study the truth and find out what the Bible really says. Not what's... Here's the question you've got to ask yourselves. When you hear something and you believe it, who told you that? Who told you? And there's a preacher named Brian Anderson that says that a lot. Who told you that? That's something that I got from him. I haven't heard him in a long time, but that's, you know, who told you that? We have to be willing to ask that question. And if it wasn't God, you're walking on, you're on what we call a slippery slope. You know, we can't be doing that. Luke 1. I've got Luke 1 down here. Hang on a minute. And this hour did fly. Luke 1, verses 3 and 4, says, "It seems good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught." We can have certainty in our lives. We don't have to be afraid of the truth. We don't have to question whether we really have the truth. We can be certain, but it takes some work. It takes some time, it takes some effort to go out there and do the things that need to be done. You have a look on your face. Is that Theron? Oh, just Theron again? I can't see what you're putting on there, Theron. I'll look at it when I get home. So I thought he was supposed to be working on the bathroom this morning or something. They're remodeling. But so we have this certainty in our lives. And that only comes through time and study. And again, reading books, you go pick up Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, and read that. It's written from the perspective of a investigative reporter, and he investigated Jesus. He wanted to prove his wife wrong.
Yeah, he was an atheist,
and that he ended up becoming a believer based on what he learned. Rush Limbaugh's brother's got a book out called Jesus on Trial, and written from the perspective of a police detective investigating a murder scene and how you go about collecting evidence. Similar concept. But there are lots of books out there, lots of things to help you study and know how to study. And you read the book, read the Bibles, lots of study aids. Find somebody if you need help studying. I'll find you. Contact me. I don't care what city you're in. I'll find somebody to help you study. And if I don't know somebody, I know somebody that does. And so we can help you that way. It's really important that we get a grip on this idea of being sure of what we have and not being afraid to say that we're sure. Mm-hmm. And not question whether we have the truth or not. Folks, there is one. Ephesians 4 clearly says there's one truth. And if that's the case, God's not a liar. You already said that. We can find that truth. And we can be certain of it. We don't have to waffle on it like this young prophet. We don't have to turn around and go back. We can just stay the course and just keep studying, keep learning. Woody, how do you want to close this thing out? I just talked way too much.
Well, I didn't know if you had any further questions to me. I know we didn't kind of get to that point.
Yeah, real quick. You were baptized. How were you baptized the first time you were baptized?
Sprinkling.
Why?
Well, that was when I was a child, a baby.
Okay.
I believe that still my parents have the baptism certificate. That was just what they did back in the day, and that was brought up in a traditional UCC evangelical, and that was in the 80s or whatever.
Okay. What about the second time you were baptized?
Well, the second time I felt that, I don't know, that there was just a desire there, a show of an outward change or inward change, mm-hmm. outward response. And same thing for the third time. I had gone to a different place and felt that I rededication or whatever, sort of similar.
Okay.
And then the fourth and final time, the right time, was scripturally based.
Okay. What do you mean by scripturally based?
Well, there's a few verses in scriptures, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. There's Galatians 3:26 and 27. Colossians talk about being baptized. And then people get hung up. Well, that's a work. Colossians 2 says God's doing the work.
Well, we can.
And we could spend all of.
Ephesians 2 takes care of that discussion if people will go there and read it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you have a question about what a work is, go to Ephesians 2, read that, and talk about it. Talks about works of the law and talks about good works. And it explains all that in chapter 2 if you'll just read it. So we don't have time to go there, but it's an excellent study.
Yeah.
If you have questions about it, call me or get a hold of somebody that get a hold of me, and I'll get you in touch with somebody that can help you with that. So it boiled down to really just doing what the Bible said, why the Bible said to do it, how the Bible said to do it. All right. Well, I appreciate you being on. How do you want to close this show out since I talk so much?
Well, I always want to reiterate that the most important thing that a person can do is, okay, what are you being taught? Is it in the scripture or is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then I would strongly suggest that you question it. And whoever is teaching you or wherever you're learning from, I would hope that you'd be able to question that individual and that they'd be willing to answer your question. And then when they respond to you, does it match up with what is written in scripture?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Pretty simple. Simple, simple. Appreciate everybody. I don't know what'll happen next week. If somebody do a show or not, I will not be here. If you have any questions, you're in the area, Galena Church of Christ over in Ford County is where I normally attend. Have any questions, you're welcome to show up there 9:00 Sunday morning for a Bible study. And we start there about 10:15 for worship. If you're in Louisville, we can get you in contact with somebody, Taylorsville or Eastland or lots of places over there we can get you. Or other places, just let me know what you need, folks. We just want to help. We want to do a little bit of good, no harm with what we're doing here.
Can I do a little plug, selfish plug?
Sure.
We have an upcoming gospel meeting starting July 21st.
Tommy Peeler.
26th. Tommy Peeler will be speaking that whole week. Feel free to check out the website, TesraRoadChurchChrist.com.
Is this the topic?
Yes.
How is your relationship with God?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question to be honest about.
Yeah, and on the back of
our little cards here. It's got he's going to be talking about Haggai, the glory of God, God's will or my will, the seriousness of sin, the parable of the prodigal son, cross and resurrection of Jesus, counting the cost, so that we might not trust in ourselves but in God.
I'll be keeping this. Thank you very much. All right, Matt, have anything you want to say?
If anyone's interested, they can go on to YouTube, Eastern Church of Christ. We put our sermons are up on YouTube, video, and you can watch those or listen to them online.
Yep. And if as far as that's concerned, as far as the show, we've got Let the Bible Speak .faith, where Theron uploads shows and other material too. If you want to go there, of course you can go to Facebook and watch this back or watch other episodes or whatever the case may be. To get information about what we're doing and what we're teaching. So thank you all very much for being on. Appreciate everybody. God bless you. Have a great day. Happy anniversary, babe. See you in a little bit. Bye.